Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Eco Money, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. Now, Singapore-listed companies are getting better at sustainability reporting. That's according to a joint review out today by the Singapore Exchange Regulation and the Centre for Governance and Sustainability at the National University of Singapore Business School. The report found that the average overall score based on the SGX CGS Sustainability Reporting Scorecard 2021 rose to 71.7 points from 60.6 in 2019. The gain was broad-based and regardless of listing, board, size and industry sector. To find out more, we're joined now by Associate Professor Lawrence Low, Director of Centre for Governance and Sustainability at the National University of Singapore Business School. Prof, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Our absolute pleasure to have you on the show again. Lawrence, we've seen here a slight decrease in the number of reports submitted. And when I say a slight decrease, I'm really talking about a decrease of 99.8% from the last report to 99.5%. So we're really talking single digits here. But overall, an improvement when it comes to sustainability reporting. But perhaps you can tell us, from an investor perspective, where were the most significant improvements when it comes to sustainability reporting for listed companies here in Singapore?
Yes, I think, first of all, to put it in a broad perspective, it's very, very heartening to see the overall shift upwards in the sustainability disclosure of the companies. I think it augurs well after we mandate sustainability reporting about 4 years ago. So if you want to look at some specific aspects that investors can tune into, I think it's very good news. Many of the companies, in fact, almost all the companies have done very well in terms of defining what is called the materiality. In other words, the core business of which there's an impact on sustainability. They have also used a very good reporting framework. It's not just something that they dream out of the blue, but they try to adapt to globally accepted framework. And they are doing very well in defining the scope of their sustainability involvement, meaning that they have a clear boundaries of what they are actually discussing. And of course, two other things we are very good. They are now very stakeholder-centric in general, and they pay very good attention to, say, targets in terms of sustainability performance. So I think these five aspects put together collectively paint a very good picture of sustainability as being practiced and disclosed in the company.
Can you give me an example of what you mean by materiality? And when it comes to companies, because you say companies are now clearer about disclosing materiality, can you give us an example of what you mean by that?
Oh yes, some special example, many of the time this will depend on what specific business they are in, what industry sector they are in. Say for example, say you are a property developer or real estate company, some of the material factors will be, say, how environmentally conscious your products are.
Okay.
In other words, how energy efficient, how, you know, you can lead to, say, green building, for example. If you are, say, in communication, telecom, some of the material factors would be, say, your supplier, in terms of those that they provide the technical infrastructure for you, in terms of conducting your business. So I think it's very across companies, across industries. And this is what we wanted to nail it to where it matters most for sustainability. You know, this sustainability is not catch all and be all for everyone. It depends on where the exact points are, so-called pain points.
Yeah, not just sector specific as well, but company specific, right?
Yes. Even within some sectors, a few companies might vary a little bit in how they consider things to be material and use. They will consult external stakeholders in the supply chain or even in among their attendees. What do they think are things that are core to what they perceive to have the most impact on sustainability, including the environment, the social aspect, and also the governance aspect. So I think this is a very, very detailed and I say robust exercise done by the better companies to have this a systematized procedure for determining materiality.
Now, you know, one of the stats that I thought was quite interesting in the report, Lawrence, was that Catalyst overtook Main Board's average score. Can you tell us more about that?
Oh, yes. And I think everybody, of course, know that in our Singapore Exchange for the equity, there are two boards, the Main Board and the Catalyst, which is the secondary board, usually the smaller companies, and the listing requirements are less stringent, and usually they are guided by what they call a sponsor. So a very interesting result is, you know, we found that sustainability disclosure of performance of Catalyst is higher than the Main Board.
Right.
And of course, Catalyst usually take up about one third of the whole size of the, you know, all companies. And what we found is, you know, that it's a bit strange. But when we drill deep into the result statistics, what we found is among the Main Board, first of all, among the Main Board, it's dragged down by the smaller companies.
Okay.
The large companies are okay. They do very, very well. They walk on water, so to speak. But it's the smaller company, the Main Board, that drag things down. And then the other reasons as well, if you want to go through them or later.
Well, no, Lawrence, is that contradictory a bit, though? Because if we're seeing a strong performance from Catalyst-listed companies, which usually are smaller than Main Board-listed companies, yet the companies that are smaller on the Main Board didn't perform as well. So what's happening there?
Yes. I think, first of all, as I mentioned just now in the Catalyst category, usually they are not left on their own. They have what they call a sponsor who guides them in terms of
corporate
processes, governance, and you know how to do the listing, how to do the compliance on a continuing basis. So in other words, there's already some hand-holding.
I see.
And of course, in general, they are smaller, but of course, even if you compare apple to apple in terms of the size, they are better. And I think it's really the sponsor effect or any other effect that comes about through the best practices induced by the arrangement of the listing. Yeah.
I see. We're speaking with Associate Professor Lawrence Low, Director of Centre for Governance and Sustainability at the National University of Singapore Business School. Lawrence, I've got to ask you as well, because we have seen an improvement when it comes to sustainability reporting. What role do you think events of the past year had on this positive result that we've seen in this latest review?
If you look at the last 1 year in which, actually this is the period in which we do most of the assessment, even within the pandemic period, the good news is, you know, there's across the board improvement. But of course, in terms of even the timeliness of the submission, there are some specific procedural challenges faced, but it's understandable, you know, the timeliness, specifically in particular, is not as good as in the past, but eventually they still catch up a little bit. But what is more revealing is, you know, within this pandemic year, quite a sizable number of companies are already making the necessary disclosure and, of course, practices on COVID-related issues and impact. For example, many companies take the effort to disclose more about issues like health and safety of employees, customers, and the need to care for local communities. So it stands up in our study, especially on the social side.
Now, Lawrence, I wanted to ask you as well, because while they're reporting the positive side of business, it's also important to balance, isn't it, and report some of the things that maybe companies didn't do so well when it comes to sustainability. And in this round of review, you saw an increase in the balance of reporting. Can you share with us some examples there and why this is important from an investor perspective?
Yes. First of all, the balance in reporting is one of the general principles as stipulated by the Singapore Exchange. You know, in the reporting the guidelines. But the good thing is, you know, in the previous round, 2 years ago, what we found is that most companies just gloss over what they have not done well, and in fact, don't even report them, so they just highlight all the good positive things that they have accomplished. For example, if a company has zero cases of corruption, zero fatalities and injury, zero data lapses or cybersecurity breaches, they will make a big deal out of this. But now, recently, what we found is that many companies are actually balancing with sometimes, you know, just disclosing some of the things they don't do well very candidly in the report. Mm-hmm. For example, some examples are, for example, workplace accidents, fines that were incurred, turnover rate of employees. You know, usually things that don't come across well, but now I think investors and even analysts are now more intelligent. They won't, you know, hold the company for one or two bad things. In fact, it speaks a lot about the honesty.
Greater transparency. Greater transparency,
yes,
there.
Transparency. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So going forward, Lawrence, what are some of the things that you're going to be looking out for, perhaps ahead of the next review?
Yes, I think two key issues show up, and I think this will merit a lot of attention by corporations or even regulators. I think this is already in the pipeline. One is the issue of assurance. How do you actually, you know, validate some of the disclosure, companies over-disclosing what they have actually done. But in fact, you know, the flip side is some companies may be under-disclosing. It happens as well, you know, they disclose less than what they are doing. They are more shy about it. So we are actually trying to look at how assurance, especially external assurance, can come into the picture to contribute to I would say the validity or even the authenticity of some of the disclosure. So this is one area in which we need to look at, and this is very vital, especially when we want to do comparison of results across company, across and within sector. Without assurance, you know, you will be comparing things that may not be meaningful. Between companies, also the assurance will provide the parity for the benchmarking to take place. So that's one. Number two is, of course, we are always talking about climate change. It didn't show up very well this round. The disclosure of climate change as a factor did not come out strongly, let alone, which is even worse, the using of a good framework to make disclosure about the impact of climate change to the company. So this is one area, especially in the use of, a standard framework. I mean, right now in the global marketplace, you know, there are already some good frameworks that could be used, and I believe, the Singapore Exchange will, the REPCO will actually conduct a dialogue on the adoption of a good standard, a good framework to work with, because I don't think we want to reinvent the wheel.
There's
something already quite well adopted in the corporate world, why not,
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, Lawrence, thank you so much for sharing all your insights with us today.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Associate Professor Lawrence Low, Director of Centre for Governance and Sustainability at the National University of Singapore Business School. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.